So, welcome everybody to the Salt of Earth podcast, where we'll be playing Dungeons and Dragons in the world of Earth, which is a world where mine and Alistair's Grin and Barrett stories are set. Prepare for a semi-prepared, semi-serious story that's going to be completely rendered to a farce within a few minutes. So, let's see how that goes and begin. And what would any D&D podcast be without a rip-roaring folk tune intro? I guess we'll soon find out. Let's begin. Okay, so most podcasts at this point, everybody will do an introduction to themselves, tell them what their jobs are, where they're from, what character they're playing, but nobody cares about any of us. And if they do, they already know us, so we don't have to do that anyway. So let's skip straight to the story.
Nice to be totally redundant.
Yes.
We're replaceable.
It's story beginning time. There would be a musical interlude there, but I don't have one, so it's just
it's just you going. Ooh,
dance again. Okay.
Should we all do that, and then it can be a musical interlude?
Okay, everybody. Most D&D campaigns will begin in a tavern of sorts where the adventurers will meet, introduce each other, and then follow a quest that's on a board or that the barkeep will give them, or so their NPC. We are going to start in the just outside in the outhouse of said tavern, where currently there is a rather noble looking person slumped against the wall, looking quite, well, not in the best state. Tom, would you like to describe what Tarquin is wearing?
Oh, Tarquin is currently wearing the most flamboyant of outfits. It's regal, one might say. It's gold and red interlaced with burgundy and ruffs. Lots and lots of ruffs. And he's currently got his, quite frankly, beautiful face smushed up against the side of the outhouse. He's having a good night. It's been going on for a while.
Well, he was having a good night until approximately 20 minutes ago.
Yes. You also have a bit of vomit on your front as well. Not entirely sure where it's from. You can make an investigation check if you want to see whether it's yours or not.
And Tarquin revels in the mystery.
Okay.
Mysterious body fluids, our favourite kind.
Well, unfortunately for you, you currently need a pee.
Oh, yes.
Are you genuinely rolling to piss?
Let's see.
You need a pee at the moment. You're not necessarily going to pee now. It's down to you.
Oh, no, I'm going to pee. I'm at that stage of being drunk where it's happening, regardless of where I am or who I'm with. I'm going to
pee. The valve is open.
Yeah, the seal was broken many hours ago, and I've been going to and from the outhouse, and I have returned there, and I am now about to see if I managed to urinate into the hole in the ground.
Well, you are aiming in the dark. It'll be pretty tough.
You're going to be disadvantaged because you're drunk. Just roll a d20. You'll be at disadvantage, so...
Okay.
it's a dexterity because you're aiming.
I roll my second d20. Okay. I rolled a 15 as my highest and a 6 as my lowest.
Six, dear. Oh, that's close. You just about make it. You using what accuracy you have left, you managed to get most of that pee in that little hole in the corner there. From
whoever sits down after this is going to have a very wet stay.
This is highbrow entertainment here, folks.
This is the best.
Strap in.
Okay. You feel strangely dizzy, even more so than you would normally, given your drunken stupor.
I know what this is. I know if I just stand still and keep breathing, it'll pass. There we go. I turn around and investigate.
Cool, excellent.
I feel like I'm going to peep out of the half-moon hole that all outhouses have.
Okay, yeah, sure thing. As you amble slowly forwards, you begin to lean left and right, more so than you would expect, really. It's hard to tell whether you're drunk or whether something else is going on. But you manage to reach the little window, and when you peer outside, you can see a heck of a lot of sky, which is strange considering that the Portaloo that you're in, or the outhouse that you're in, was... it was in a city beforehand.
Huh.
And but now that city
that
is
wasn't
not there.
There before.
I'm going to say that it's a fairly spacious outhouse. There's a couple of cubicles, one of which that you've come out of. And
of course, I wouldn't go into anyone that's just a single cubicle.
Of course,
I have
yeah.
standards.
At this moment, the other cubicle door opens behind you, and this balding, middle-aged, drunken man just ambles forwards slowly towards the door. That's the exit.
Excuse me, sir. I don't think that you want to go out that way.
Roll for persuasion.
Three. With persuasion, I got a plus four for persuasion, so
ooh.
Seven.
Still doesn't make it.
Oh, no.
He just shrugs you off, just, bah, stupid drunk, and opens the door, and is immediately met by a gust of wind which draws him out into the open. And at this moment, the wind is rushing through. Oh, my computer's going to sleep. Hold on. Don't do that. Stay on.
That's yeah, the fucking wind there, mate.
Rush of wind channels through the building. You're going to have to make a dexterity throw to stay standing.
Oh, yeah. Am I still at a disadvantage?
Yes.
Oh, always. Always.
Oh, dear.
Dexterity. Oh, seven.
Seven. Okay. Now, the wind pushes you off. You immediately fall back against the ground, falling to your side.
You end up sitting on the toilet with a damp ass.
Yes,
oh,
yes, you do.
I had a strange feeling that I would be the one who would be sitting there next. Oh, well, at least I know where this bodily fluid came from. That's one down.
This one's not anonymous.
Meanwhile, the door is flapping to and fro vigorously, now unlocked, and through it, you can start to see the sea as the outhouse swishes and sways forwards and backwards.
That was definitely not there before.
Yep. You begin to see the sea in flashes, and bit by bit, it becomes a peninsula. You can see land, and then that land becomes a cave, and with a giant thump, you may have heard that, I don't know, I jumped
Some
on the spot to make that fully work. Yep.
I yelp like a little girl.
And through the door, you find yourself in a large, expansive cavern.
I take a look out and I decide to wait for the next stop.
Okay.
No, this is not the place for me. I slap the side of the outhouse and was like, take me back to the tavern now. I don't like this one. This is a bit too rural for my tastes.
Unfortunately, the outhouse does not respond. It just gives you a wooden
or it
stare.
Is an outhouse.
Bugger.
Yeah, the cavern you find yourself in is larger than any theatre or hall or cathedral that you have ever seen. So large, in fact, that the island that you were born on could easily fit within its craggy walls and still leave room for the odd farm or two. Only one source of light comes from a gaping hole in the ceiling you flew in from, its fragmented beams illuminating heaps and piles of treasure that carpet the floor. However, this treasure is not made from gold or jewels, but of statues and wagons, bell towers, galleons, the frames of ancient skeletons, fabrics, tapestries, storehouses, beds, bushes, oddments from all across Earth, just all sorts of things. And these mounds rise and fall like a frozen and motionless sea, and little blue pools of water have formed at the base between them. In the fringes of the cavern, untouched by the pillar of light coming from the ceiling, is completely engulfed in darkness, concealing from you just how wide this cavern might be.
Well, what a bloody dump!
Just then, your vision is engulfed by the dragon that carried you here. It hops down onto the slope before you. She lands facing you, with her large, inquisitive eyes drawing all of your attention from the cavern to itself. It stands curiously still and studies you.
Don't often get freebies. What manner of thing are you?
I knew I shouldn't have taken those weird things from that gnome.
What things? What are you talking about?
He was in the outhouse earlier. He offered me some, and I was like, you know...
You mean this classic example of a third century outhouse with the moon cut out and all the lovely other details?
I mean, I added a bit to the details on the inside, if that's what you're talking about, but...
Oh, so you're an artist, I see.
On occasion, I have the certain elements of inspiration. I'm sorry, but what am I doing here?
Well, you see, I am a collector, and you are part of my collection.
Well...
Until I decide otherwise, or decide that I no longer want you.
Well, why wouldn't you want me? I mean, look at me.
That's exactly the problem.
Oh. I'm sorry?
Well, until you prove that you'll be valuable to me for some reason or other, I see no reason to carry on feeding you. And I can't have you knowing...
You fed me once.
Well, I can't start.
I want to
come
run.
Along. You must have something of worth.
I just want to run in a completely different direction.
Yeah, you can do that if you want.
Are you
running inside the outhouse or elsewhere?
Just a Jurassic.
Yeah, I think the very first thing that I would do would be shut the outhouse door and get in the same cubicle that I sat down in.
It's all a dream. It's all a dream. It's all a dream.
Why did that gnome give me those things? Yeah, I'm just hankering down, and I am just like trying my best to ignore what's going on outside.
Unfortunately for you, this is not a dream, and you look up as the dragon lifts the roof of the outhouse and is now peering down at you.
A little privacy, please. I want to run out of the outhouse now. Some might say what I'm doing is futile, but I would like to think that Tarquin believes that it's quite noble.
Yeah, in running away, you've now covered maybe about 6 feet.
Yep.
And you're slightly damper than you were having sat down on the toilet again.
I'm definitely
also given the nature of this cavern, what with the all the floors being full of tat and treasure and all sorts, that running is going to be fairly difficult. You're going to be running at half speed. So
especially given how you presumably got there.
Indeed.
I am scrambling. I am terrified.
No, those are my collectibles! Get off!
I'm sorry!
From Tarkin's point of view, it's like that scene in Doctor Strange where they're going through the kaleidoscope of the city, just not knowing what way's up, what way's forward.
Yeah, that's what I imagine it's like, and it's everything is just shaking and moving and wobbling, and I am just not having a good time. I don't know what to do. I just want to keep running until I find someone or something that isn't a dragon.
You have consistently failed to prove interesting, so the dragon just kind of gives a... Well, I hope you've got more to offer than that, and just kind of... slumps off in the direction of the cavern, but you quickly lose sight of her as she recedes into the gloom.
It's rather fortunate that you peed earlier, I think.
I didn't need to take a number two while I was there, but my God, I don't need to take one for a while now.
I should probably clarify that I am co-DMing this session with Alistair, in case the listeners were confused at my voice changing halfway through that. Where you are now, Tarquin, you can hear distant music, a soft rhythmic drumming and rather interesting singing voice, it sounds like.
Well, that sounds like quite amateur music, actually, but... as long as it's not a dragon, I think I'm going to go towards it.
Oh, so you walk over piles of rugs, over statues, over all the broken ornaments, and slowly come to the crest of the hill, where down below you can see a small little campfire. And from where you are, under the light of the fire, you can see a half-orc playing the drums. Sam, would you like to describe Styx for us?
Styx is the closest thing that you can get to sex on trees in the perspective of a half-orc. If you thought Tarquin was a catch, well, you're going to be sorely disappointed when you find out what he's really like and you'll come to me instead.
Wow.
I'm this 6 foot kind of two giant half-orc with big old green skin and these massive hands that I managed to somehow play a lute with as well. But at the moment, I'm just banging on a drum with my big old sausage fingers. What else do I need to say? Fuck. He likes
social security number. Mother's first pet. Mother's first
usually
pet.
Usually likes to skip. Just go straight to third base. And, you know, get straight into the petting zoo action, you know.
I advance on the half-orc, despite knowing that I should always keep away from a half-orc and hold onto my coin purse when I'm around one. I feel that next to a dragon, a half-orc is probably better to be around. What ho, good fellow?
Give me your fucking money.
I empty my
coin
purse.
Oh, wait, shit, hang on. I was supposed to be friendly in this. Fucking hell, what's up with your face?
Why, what do you mean?
You look very pale. Would you like to sit
very
down?
Much. it's quite a compliment to call someone pale, actually, you know. I haven't seen the sun in quite a while.
See, I got two sides to this. I can either put your face over this fire over here, or you can fucking sit down, and we can have a little chatsy. Yeah?
I've got to say, you're quite aggressive, but I like your tone. I'm going to sit down.
Nearby to Styx, there seems to be a rather sort of soft-looking blue cushion that could be a good place to sit upon.
I want to absent-mindedly grab it and cuddle it as if it were a cat from my island.
Okay, you pick up Lumpkin, and Smoke, would you like to describe Lumpkin for us?
Well, Lumpkin is about 3'6", has no official gender, and is essentially an animated blue teddy bear. They have buttons for eyes. They're very soft and lovable. Don't get them wet because then they'll be heavy. And if you squeeze me too tightly, I will squeak and then be embarrassed about my squeeze.
I squeeze quite hardly.
A rage envelops in her eyes. Not seen before by mortal men.
You're not quite sure how buttons can express rage, but you're definitely seeing it.
I mean, I definitely have a GIF demonstrating that in the Discord chat. Just
let me just
let
put on my
know.
Angry eyebrows.
Oh, I saw. Slam. It's beautiful.
I also have a warhammer that is about the size of me attached somehow to my body. So enjoy cuddling that.
I take a moment of perplexion and I'm wondering why this hammer is attached to this pillow, but I don't think anything more of it. I'm quite drunk and I'm quite scared and I'm in need of some kind of shock teddy bear. So
I'm not a pillow.
What?
Cuddle me though. You can cuddle me, but I'm not a pillow. Just thought I'd let you know. Clarify a few things.
She will cut you if you squeeze too hard. You understand this?
Don't make me squeak.
That is probably the least threatening thing that has ever been said.
That's really fucking cute. Oh,
that's
my
so
god.
Cute.
I quickly put the Lumpkin down. What are you?
I'm just me. I just happen to be in a soft and adorable teddy bear. With a murderous rage. But we'll get to that later if you annoy me.
Duly noted.
So, friend, why do you stink of piss?
I could ask the same thing about you, to be honest.
You fucking what?
I'm sorry. I thought it was just friendly banter.
I'm going to slowly rise from my seated position and walk at a steady pace over towards him and then just sniff. Just a big... You've been on the goblin bite, haven't you?
When one is offered, one can't but partake.
I'm pretty sure that was a double negative.
You know what, Lumpkin, you're absolutely right.
I'm sorry, are we engaging in a conversation of semantics? Or are we talking about this great problem that's got wings and it's scaly and could potentially breathe fire?
I'm just going to crack my knuckles. Crack my neck. Just slightly go down. I'll say, as long as you proved your worth, you should be fine.
I mean, yes, of course I proved my worth. Yeah, I was deemed worthy by the dragon, and she let me go.
At this point, from the crest of the nearest mound, a fourth party member will appear, carrying a pile of little bits of food that they've found around. Would you like to introduce Ruth, Ben?
So, Ruth, as she steps over, she doesn't have a backpack. She, keeps everything strapped to her hips and things like that, just so she's got complete movement of her upper torso, and, you know, freedom to use her bow and everything, which is slung nicely across her back. She's got pretty pale skin. Her hair is braided, but in a big, almost like mohawk-y style thing, with feathers and little trinkets. She's got a necklace very clearly around her neck, with loads of teeth and claws, just feathers. Just think very Celtic, very tribal. Everything's got swirls and things on it. You know, very outdoorsy. And she's going to come over. She's very outdoors. She basically is the outdoors mobile.
I think we've seen the outdoors mobile with that fucking moving shitter.
As she steps over, crests the top of this mound of crap, with a bundle on her back, she's holding, a nice big hat. She's like, did anyone else see Kezra bring in a fucking toilet?
Yes, and she brought a shit stain with it. Introduce yourself!
Hello, I bow lowly, very, very low. I am Master Tarquin Mouseroy.
That's very nice.
It's a pleasure to make
an
acquaintance.
Can you help me with this bundle? And she throws the bundle of wood down straight towards Tarquin.
Am I going to have to roll dexterity to catch this?
Sure, yeah, let's go for that. I was going to say it, but now we are. A disadvantage.
Oh, God.
Well, this can only mean
It was a choice between a 19 or a 4, so I guess I got 4 with my dexterity bonus of plus 5. I've got 9, so how'd I do?
That's good enough. It would be easy enough to carry it. You stumble a little, but you manage to grasp it in your hands and not embarrass yourself more than you have already.
That is just my MO.
Your embarrassment stat is at 5, by the way, Tom.
I'm going to write that down.
It's going up every time.
Every time I open my mouth.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is this episode just bully Tarquin?
So far, yes.
I didn't quite catch your name.
The name's Ruth.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Ruth. This is Lumpkin and this large orc fellow.
I know. I've been here a wee while now. Why else would I be getting firewood?
That makes a lot of sense.
I have to say, Kesra's collection's going a wee bit downhill.
How long have you all been collected?
About a couple of days. Lumpkin's been here the longest, maybe a week, just sat on her own.
Totally motionless.
There.
No, I've not been totally motionless. I've been making misc-shaped angels in the rugs. Can't call them snow angels because they've not got snow.
Good God.
Occasionally when it rains, the rain dribbles down from the ceiling, but you still can't make a puddle angel, can you? You'd just get wet.
That's from Lumpkin's Facts About Life. How about
it's just written in crayon. Facts spelled FAKS.
I may not be clever, but I'm cuddly.
I know.
Hello there, and thank you for listening to the podcast so far. I want to give a special thanks to my co-DM Alistair and our players Sam as Styx the Half-Orc Bard, Ben as Ruth the Human Ranger, Tom as Tarquin, the human rogue, and Smo as Lumpkin, the teddy bear barbarian. Teddy bear barbarian. There we go. Also, the song you're listening to right now is Crackle and Spit by our own Sam Wheatley, which you should be able to find on SoundCloud under Sam Wheatley 4. The seaside noise, the waves you heard near the beginning of the podcast were Ambient Seaside Waves by Inspector J, which I got from freesound.org. And if you are interested in reading any of mine and Alistair's stories set within this world of Earth, then simply go to grinandbarrett.co.uk. That's Grin and Barrett with two N's, two R's, a single T, and a few other letters for good measure. If you forget that, then just put in Calvin Low Fiction into Google, and that will probably come up with the website. One of the stories on there is The Dragon's Horde, which is a sort of prequel story to the events of this campaign, so if you're interested, feel free to have a look, and any support you can give us means a lot. So thank you for listening, and thank you again if you tell anybody else about this podcast, and thank you again if you say you love me. Okay, don't know where that came from. Back to the show. Bye.
So I turn to Ruth and I just say, very well, so you've all been here quite a while. Why have you not tried to escape?
You did see where you came in. A hole in the roof.
Yes, but surely there is some way to get out of here. Look at all of the junk and crap around us. There's got to be something of worth that's useful.
Aye, you're looking at us.
Oh, terrific.
I'm just going to wave, like a really kind of wave.
I mean, this cavern is pretty expansive, so you, I imagine you would have looked around for certain items, but you wouldn't have looked through everything just yet. There's still plenty of things to look through.
Okay, so what are we doing then? Is there any way out?
There might be some interesting things in here. Like, it's a pretty big collection.
So you're assuming that she won't really miss much if we borrow some bits.
I'm reasoning that there's so much stuff in here that I don't even think she knows what's in here.
That's not a terrible terrible thing to reason. What are you thinking that might be useful to find?
I don't know. Like, they might have magical items. You know, bits and bobs that could be sold for a pretty penny.
But to who? Each other? I think we need to find a way out before we start thinking about anything like this.
All right. Realistically, what are our options here? What can we do?
Escape. Let's try to find something to get out. A bloody catapult to launch ourselves out of the mouth of the cave. I don't know.
Ooh, good idea, because then when you fall down, you'll splat and we will be rid of you.
Whoa!
I'm just here offering solutions, and
I'm just
going to
high five
criticism.
So, are we saying the only way out is through the hole that we came in, or is there possibly somewhere in the very corners of the giant cavern that might have a hole?
It's possible.
Shall we have a look?
Yeah, shall we make our way towards the very edges of the cave and see if we can find any kind of exit?
So you're looking for a hole. Excellent. Okay.
Which way did Kevra go? I don't want to run into her.
She flew out from the top of the cavern. She's not in here anymore. She's out finding more to
which is probably good, given that you have loudly been calling most of her collection shit.
Yes.
So she's not in.
She's not in.
How about... I have a better idea. Uh-oh. How about we find all the rope that we can possibly find, and then when she comes back to drop off whatever thingy mabob she's got this time round, we lasso her and climb on and antagonise her till she flies out, and then we can all fly off.
Because antagonising a dragon was always something that worked well for level 1 adventurers.
As long as you're behind, as long as you're behind the head, you'll be fine.
I don't think I understand what flop off is.
Well, it's this thing where you put your fist right and you get it inside a fair. No. Oh, there's a different meaning entirely.
No, as in you flop onto the ground. Flop.
I think we've already established that you know that we don't flop. At least I don't flop. I don't know about the orc. I don't know what orcs do.
I forget.
Or at least if you do, you only ever do it once.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's loud.
And messy.
So are we thinking the smartest suggestion maybe to wander to the periphery of the cave?
Yes. And try and find an interesting or easy way out.
Fantastic.
So would this be...
All right, let's
investigation.
It'd be perception. It would take the better part of the day to wander around all the outside.
Okay.
Rolling.
Okay, perception.
Perception.
Can somebody remind me what we roll for perception, please?
A d20, my dear.
Thank you.
But two of them because we're at a disadvantage, or are we taking the torches?
Are we taking the torches? I'm assuming you're not just sort of like feeling your way around, that you're actually using torches.
I got a 16.
I only got a 12.
I got an 18.
Ooh. Eagle button eyes.
If we're at disadvantage, I got 11.
You're not at disadvantage, you've got torches.
Then I got 14.
Okay, so you spend a better part of a day. You check every nook and cranny thoroughly, making sure that you haven't missed any gaps or slopes that you could climb up, anything that you could perhaps crawl through. But unfortunately, after your day's search, you are cold, you are hungry, and you have not found a hole in the wall.
I make all of these things quite evident, and I vocalise them frequently.
So we've spent an entire day looking around this place for a hole in the wall or any other kind of exit.
And listening to Tarquin whinge the entire time.
And listening to Tarquin fucking moan.
My legs hurt.
Such a fucking Wendy girl's blouse you are, Tarquin.
It's night now. Through the hole in the ceiling of the cavern, you can see little pinpricks of stars. In fact, that's the only way you can tell where that hole is now is for. The rest of it is black, apart from that awkward shape of pinprick stars. Oh. And from where you're standing, you can start to see little dark figures on the crest of it.
Oh,
fuck.
Well, that's creepy.
Can I throw someone up there to investigate?
Why do I think it's going to be me?
You can try.
You're already looking like a bit of a projectile here, Tarquin.
What about the teddy bear?
I mean, this is 100 feet up in the air, pretty much, so...
It would be a hell of a throw.
Blumpkin?
Yes, Dix?
Have you flown recently?
Only the other day when I was dropped in here.
Would you like to fly again?
Only if you can promise me a safe landing.
I cannot promise you a safe landing. You'll land somewhere around here.
You're a living cushion. You'll probably be fine.
Oh, go on.
Are you doing
then.
That? Are you actually throwing Lumpkin there?
I need your button eyes, my dear.
You can have all of me.
Oh. Right. What kind of roll for this?
It'll be a
athletics.
Athletics, I suppose. It's sort of
I have a plus 5 in athletics, so I'm feeling.
Oh wow. Confident. Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
So that's 17 plus 5, 22.
Okay, no worries. You pick up Lumpkin in your hand, in one hand, and you lean back like an athlete, pretty much in the stance of the shot put, I think is what you're going for with Lumpkin
yes.
there. And
javelin.
You thrust Lumpkin through the air. You see this bear cartwheel across your vision and into the darkness. Over the crest of the next hill.
I was supposed to throw a dead up into the air, right? Fucking.
Oh, sorry, right, okay. Sorry, I mistook you. I thought you were throwing them at the figures. I thought that was.
I wanted to see what was on the ceiling.
Okay.
I was going to throw her to the ceiling so she could see what's on the ceiling.
Look what you've done now, you're miles away.
Okay, go back. Lumpkin's thrown into the air, cartwheeling vertically, straight up.
There we go.
From Lumpkin's vision. Hold on, Lumpkin, roll perception with disadvantage, because you're currently spinning like a tornado.
Roll for travel sickness. Currently
hurtling through the air.
Yeah.
Oh. That is a six.
A six.
Okay. Yeah, I had to check whether it was a six or a nine.
Okay, so from up high, you see ceiling ground. And then, Sticks, are you going to try and catch Lumpkin?
Please.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, make a dexterity throw.
That is three.
Oh my god.
No. Can we all make a saving throw to try and catch Lumpkin?
Sure, yeah, sure. Go for it.
I don't think Ruth will try.
Oh.
Okay.
Like,
I got wow. 17 as dexterity.
You got 17. Okay. Styx has lost sight of completely of where Lumpkin is, just looking directly up. Just
how much does Lumpkin weigh, by the way? And is Lumpkin... Is Lumpkin carrying the hammer?
Lumpkin is.
Oh my god! No!
That's the one time to have a one.
Let's say no. Let's
the hammer
say I
was heavy. I wouldn't have got a 22 on throwing you with your hammer.
Let's say that Lumpkin has just a hint of a brainwave and decides to leave anything that could make it heavy on the floor.
Okay, cool.
So it was the lightest possible projectile. And I don't know how heavy Lumpkin is. It's impolite to ask.
That Damn is it. True. How heavy is a regular pillow?
Yeah. How heavy is a 3'6" teddy bear?
About the weight of a baseball, actually.
Tarquin, seeing Lumpkin, the shape of Lumpkin silhouetted against the starlight of the crack in the cave, manages to dive forward and collect him in his hands.
Oh. Are you alright, Lumpkin?
Okay. I've just googled the weight of a 3
Oh, for God's sake!
Okay.
It is 2.3 kilos.
Aww.
Oh, wow.
You weigh nothing.
So when you swing your Warhammer, there's a very good chance of your Warhammer swinging you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is essentially what happened the first time I ever tried to use it, is I fell flat on my face.
That Lumpkin takes that chance every single goddamn time. I put Lumpkin down on the ground safely, and I.
So Lumpkin, what did you see?
Mostly ceiling, but also sky, and also darkness. Okay. But it was all going around very fast.
From the periphery of your hearing, just on the edge, quiet and distant, you can hear some little voices of the figures. Somehow they've made it down.
Are they spelunkers?
Can't quite hear what they're saying at this point. It's just. At the distance where you know there's a voice there.
Well,
I'm not scared.
If they've got into the cave, maybe they've set a way of getting out.
It's either that or they're also part of the collection.
Did you find out from the dragon if there were any other beings that were collected? Anybody?
I can't say that I asked.
It wasn't the first thing that I thought to ask.
I just wanted to find the nearest comfortable thing to fall onto.
Very well, so long as everybody has their priorities.
Well, let's make our way over, I guess.
Curious what a different. Living cushion would consider comfortable.
Anything.
Everything not wet.
This bed of nails is so comfortable.
Lumpkin likes piles of very dry things.
Okay.
So, biscuits, nuts, wood.
Like the bits of bark that you get in an outdoor kids' play area.
Yeah, precisely.
Okay.
Or the squishy asphalt that you get in outdoor kids' play areas.
Lumpkin just likes outdoor kids' play areas in general, I think.
yeah, that's definitely just what happens.
Does that mean Styx is the single dad sitting on a bench reading a book as, you know,
why not?
Lumpkin is just playing on the monkey bars.
Look at me, Styx!
Yes, dear.
I would love to see Lumpkin try to attempt the monkey bars. It would just be like climb to the top and then flop down and then try it.
Flump. Squeeze.
Oh.
Here's a question about Lumpkin that I haven't quite decided. Does Lumpkin have opposable thumbs?
No.
I imagine that you had, you have mitten hands, so you have like, or you don't have individual fingers, but you do have a thumb.
I'm just thinking like full Powerpuff Girl. That's what I had in my head.
I was thinking Powerpuff Girl. That's what I was hoping for. You got stumps.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I'll tuck my thumb in so it looks like I've got Powerpuff Girl hands.
Are you actually physically tucking your thumbs in right now?
I might be.
It's all coming together.
Like some weird tortoise head, Lumpkin's thumbs just sort of recede.
Retractable
pockets in its hands.
To be fair, Lumpkin could, like, if it didn't have thumbs, it could just sew them on.
That's true. Would you sew, like, little cloth thumbs, or would you have, like, human thumbs?
Jesus.
Would that still work? Like, you could just sew on an appendage and it'll
work. You may have experimented with appendages in the past, but they go soft pretty quickly.
University is a crazy thing. Lots of experimenting was done in university, wasn't it, Lumpkin?
So Lumpkin has mitten hands, let's just go with that. And they're soft and fluffy all the way around.
Powerpuff fingers.
But it has the little palm shapes. Out of beans. Not fuzzy fabric. Beans. It has beans.
Beans.
out of a non-fuzzy fabric for added grip on the Warhammer.
Like a
there
felt.
Yeah.
Little bits of
felt
leather.
Beans.
I've got felt beans.
Oh, I need an artist's impression of
like, you need a plushie.
Oh!
Oh my god.
With a hammer.
Yeah. With a hammer. The hammer is very important.
Just a question. Are your characters discussing the anatomy of Lumpkin at this point? Yes.
Honestly, I would say so.
Yes. Yeah.
We were going to go and investigate this noise, and then we were all just crowded around Lumpkin going, how the fuck do your hands work?
I just like to imagine, I caught Lumpkin, and I put Lumpkin down, I see him just like gripping onto me just a little bit before letting go and jumping down. I'm like, how did you do that?
It's like thousands of tiny little hands in one big hand.
Like that bit in Spider-Man where it's just like loads of tiny little leg hairs on his thumbs.
No.
Each individual like bit of fluff that sticks out, if you put it in a microscope, there's tiny little hands and fingers on the end.
Are we saying that Lumpkin has fractal hands?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we've done it.
Fuck it. Why not?
We got to the bottom of it once again.
No, it's not hands. It's tiny, even more tiny Lumpkins. That,
oh, God.
On the end of those.
Okay. Lumpkin has mitten hands, and these mitten hands are going to end up around somebody's neck if we don't decide on where we're moving to.
Rude.
Shall we go to the
But
things?
How would the mitten hands strangle someone?
Shall I demonstrate? Lumpkin starts waddling towards with arms outstretched.
I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, Lumpkin is 3'6" and so can't even reach without jumping.
Can make an athletics check.
Shall we move on rather than be bogged down in Lumpkin anatomy for the rest of the evening?
You notice that there's a sign next to you, like seems to be like a crossroads sort of sign. You can make an intelligence check to see if it says anything.
Okay.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
40.
Is that another d20?
Yeah. It's pretty much always d20 unless it's a weapon.
What do Good I to add know. To this?
Intelligence.
I'm not smart. 8.
8?
I got 14.
19 minus 1, 18.
Okay.
17 minus 1, so 16.
Styx, you have a look at the symbols. They seem quite archaic in nature. There's leaning lines. It's hard to make out, but eventually you work out sort of the old, what the letters, what they could represent. And it says plot, and it points towards...
on the other side of the cavern.
Guys.
It's the rare and apparently fatal plot device.
There's a plot of something over there.
I choose to ignore it. How in the hell do your hands work?